Hello and welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly roundup for all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting in Wisconsin here.
And this is Becky.
All right, it's issue 102. Let's start with Z85 and 26mm coverage. So the lens has been announced last week. There's a lot more videos now came out than comparisons. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Nikon Rumors published comparison with a Canon 85 1.2 mirrorless system.
Why not?
Size-wise, Nikon one is bigger. However, the weight-wise, they are surprisingly the same. What I've noticed is that the quantity of diaphragm blades is actually different. So it's 11 on Nikon, It's 9 on the Canon. So technically, if we think about it, so it should be more rounded bokeh on the Nikon one.
Should have some fluffier looking bokeh.
Exactly. However, we have some YouTubers who compared this, and one of them is Manny Ortiz. And he actually said in the studio he can't see the difference between the two lenses.
Fair enough.
However, the focusing is definitely significantly faster on the Nikon version. You can even hear the Canon lenses moving the elements inside it, so it makes it quite noisy. Nikon one doesn't do this. So because their price-wise about the same,
yeah,
Nikon at this price is definitely a more compelling offer, I would say.
When did the Canon come out? Do you know?
2019.
Okay. So obviously Nikon's is a newer design because it's nearly 4 years younger than the Canon one, which might have something to do with it. But it's interesting that bokeh-wise, you can't really see a difference between these two.
For studio
work specifically. Out in the field where you've got kind of busy-looking backgrounds, you might see a more significant difference. But I can understand how if you got in a studio with, you know, a plain backdrop, you're not going to see a colossal difference between that.
That's right. In his comparison, also, he finds that the Nikon version was focusing more precisely. He had issue with the Canon lens focusing on the eyelashes instead of eyeballs. And in terms of this, I guess that's because of new design. We all used to portrait lenses to be quite slow in general. So you don't expect them to perform as fast as something like sports and wildlife lenses. So Nikon release definitely changed that. And I think that a lot of competitors from Canon and also Fuji will need to catch up with that if they want to compete in the space. Now, obviously, we're talking about different systems, and if you've got different systems, you will stick to the lenses from the brand you use, but it's just an interesting comparison. So if you want to see more specification details, do go to Nikon Room website and watch Manny Ortiz's video.
Yes, now on to some other videos. We have the wonderful Matt Irwin with his wildly enthusiastic video, which is Nikon 85 1.2S, powerful, outstanding, cinematic, real-world month review. Did he have it for a month?
He had it for a month. Can you imagine that?
Lucky, lucky duck.
I think the only person in the world, maybe except Ricci,
who's had it for that long. Anyway, Matt is very, very positive about this lens. This is kind of his bread and butter photography as well. He's got portraiture and street photography combined in his review video. So definitely go and check that out. We also have Ricci, our very own Ricci. Now we know, you know, on Ricci Watch, we know where he's been. He's been shooting with the 85 1.2. He had a little comparison between that and the 50 1.2S, which is definitely a comparison we would also like to do when we get our hands on a production model of the lens. Bear in mind that Ricci has a pre-production model of the lens. As he says in his video, you know, just take all of the images with a little pinch of salt because they may be slightly different with a final production copy.
Yeah, and when people start to discuss the image quality of the pre-production models, then all I have to say to that is maybe we should wait for the actual production models to come out, they'll get in their hands. If you're on the fence right now, then do wait for those reviews.
Yeah.
And then you can make up your mind. And then obviously you go to places like Flickr, people will upload their samples in there. So wait and see. Now, we also have Seth Miranda from Adorama, who not only tested in the studio, he also tested outside on actual real people, aka human beings.
Actual human beings.
I know. It's very difficult nowadays because we all get all those chart photos and the brick walls and all this.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nice to use portrait lens for real human being portraiture.
Like Matt did.
Exactly.
So Seth not only reviewed the 85 1.2, but also the 26mm pancake lens. So he's got both of those. He did studio and daylight. So you can have a little look at that. And Ricci also did a separate video on the 26mm 2.8 pancake. It says Nikon made a pancake. So go and check that out if you have the time.
Well, overall, the reception of both lenses have been very positive. I think that's what people have been waiting for. 26 is a surprise lens, and according just to the sample images that we received, it's exceptionally sharp lens for the size. And now a lot of people contemplate if they want to keep their 28 mil or show they upgrade to 26. Now moving on, not so great news. Well, rumors. According to Nikon rumors, no other Nikon announcements are expected at CP Plus this year. So just a reminder, CP Plus is supposed to happen this February, between 23rd and 26th February. And Nikon rumors was told to expect nothing.
I hope it's not true. However, no leak does not mean that there's nothing coming. So before we all get very upset, we should hang fire.
And actually, Nikon was kind of tightening it up, the circle of trust, as we would say. So we definitely see a lot less leaks as we used to, let's say, see a couple of years ago. So who knows? Something like Z9 development announcement came out of the blue. So no one was really warned about this.
Nope.
The official announcement, we definitely had the teasers before that, but the development announcement came out of the blue. So no one knows about this, even places like Nikon Rumors. So who knows? Maybe the same thing will happen today. So I wouldn't write it off as of yet. However, who knows? I would say maybe 50-50 on that. So what I'm thinking to do, then, since we just speculating as usual on our podcast, we obviously have a very competitive camera with the Nikon Z9. And it competes with cameras like Sony A1 and A9 Mark II, as well as Canon R3 and R5. And arguably, in my opinion, it is still the best camera on the market. However, we don't really have anything competitive with other brands in what we call pro mid tier and lower pro mid tier. So we're talking about cameras like Z6, Z7, and Z8. And I think
Z8 that doesn't exist. Yeah.
But I think there are definitely cameras from other manufacturers that do work in this space. So if you look at Sony, there's going to be A7 RV.
Five.
Or Canon has R6 Mark II.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need to have space in this. And the problem with not having a camera like this is the other brands perform better in terms of autofocus speed.
Right.
And Z9 is not really an answer for a lot of people because it is the best camera, but A is expensive and B is big. So it's not exactly, it's not answering all the questions to a lot of people. So if you need that camera right now, this is the one to get, but we definitely need something smaller and lighter that will perform on par with other brands.
Yeah.
Great discussion.
It's true. And picking up from that, we also haven't really seen a camera release, apart from the Z30 last year, in over a year now. So there is definitely a need to bring out something contemporary. The Z9 is a proven success. We know the photographers who need it have a camera available to them that is possibly the best camera that's ever been available for that type of photography. For sports and wildlife, it is absolutely superb. But we definitely need something that will work well for both landscapes and portraits photographers, as well as a sort of more general purpose camera, I would say.
Music to my ears, Becky. But I think Nikon likes a low and slow approach, just like in cooking. However, sometimes impatient people like us do want things a little bit rushed, maybe. And while there's a whole conversation of releasing product early and ironing out the bugs, while having the camera in hands, another approach, which is low and slow by Nikon, is not having any equipment out.
Right.
And
leaving us guessing. I mean, I will say, although a lot of our viewers will probably argue that we don't need another camera, use the equipment that you've got, etc. Not arguing with that at all. But there is definitely a certain amount of attraction and attention to the brand that is created every time new products are released. And even if whatever comes next is not for you, it does mean that Nikon are still being innovative, they're still working towards more exciting products in the future. And eventually, whatever comes in the form of a Z8 or Z6 III, Z7 III will trickle down to other smaller cameras. So if you're not yourself looking for a professional camera, don't think that whatever comes next is not relevant to you, because it is.
Well, it's just the question, how can I use my current equipment while not knowing what's coming next? I can't take pictures with my current equipment right now.
He's just got to create a block right there,
exactly.
Because you need the next camera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My equipment right now is not worth it because Z8 should come out any minute.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah. But it's a hype thing apart from anything else. It's excitement surrounding the brand and sort of encouragement that Nikon are still working on things behind the scenes, even if we don't know what it is. Obviously, we know they're working on things, but there are going to be a few photographers that will say, whatever's in the Z8 is exactly what I was waiting for this entire time, and therefore I need it yesterday.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, Becky.
Now, next up, Nikon Rumors have published a table of all the Z lenses compared by size and also lens design. So you can see all the little element breakdowns in there with how many aspherical, super ED elements, etc. are in there. And it's quite an interesting looking roadmap, actually.
Very colorful.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to Japan. Nikon Japan announced a release of a very unknown camera. It's called Black ZFC. We don't really talk about it because it doesn't really exist. But they've announced a release of it. It was available in other regions, but it still stays a limited Nikon store exclusive. So you can't buy it in any dealer, just Nikon store online. They also announced a few limited edition colors, which will be available from 3rd of March till 14th of July. And you can register your interest from 8th of February. But they now have this crimson red color, as well as some olive green, some dark blue, dark brown, and also slightly shyster yellow.
It's mustard.
It's a mustard yellow.
Mustard yellow, like your jumper last week.
That's right.
It's that color. So it's kind of interesting with the different colors of the ZFCs. We've discovered that in certain regions, like in the USA, you can't get the black ZFC with these different colored leatherettes, shall we say, or if they do make them available, they only make a limited variety of them. You can get them in different colors in Europe and now in Japan as well. But if you're interested in any of those, you have to head over to the Nikon store and Nikon store only, because that is the only place you will be able to get them.
That's true. And it's interesting because they've actually discontinued the previous colors in Japan very recently. They've started the new ones.
Right.
So, but what do you think about having a camera as a fashion accessory? And obviously this is aimed at the younger people who like their cameras nice and colorful. What do you think, Becky?
I think it reminds me a little bit of when I was a kid, you could get, like, customizing your stuff was a really big thing, right? You could buy, for example, like white Converses, and then you could customize them yourself. And they even came with a pack of like waterproof pens. I had a teddy bear that you were able to do that with as well. And I kind of think maybe Nikon's next step should be a completely customizable camera where you can just peel off the leatherette, wash it, and then start over again and doodle all over it. That's what I'm looking for.
I mean, okay, there's a lot of photographers who are too serious and they say, oh, no, I want my camera black and, you know, that's all I want. You know, it's all serious, you know. But I think it's fun to have cameras. So if you want to do this, you can do it. And obviously, if it appeals to more demographic, then why not? And because this option is available and you don't necessarily need to use it, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. If it's not for you, then it's not for you.
Exactly.
Simple.
But it's nice to have options, in my opinion. And having additional colors is very interesting. I mean, we start to see those color palettes nowadays come into watches as well. They don't just make them black and silver anymore.
Yeah.
So they make all those dials in beautiful different colors. So why not have it on our cameras as well?
Indeed. Now, they are going to be accepting reservations for these different colored cameras in Japan from the 9th of February. And they will be available for a really limited amount of time from the 3rd of March until the 14th of July. So if you are interested in getting hold of one of those and you're a Japan resident, then bear in mind those dates have a time constraint on them.
Fantastic. Now, this interesting article came out on a website, which is called Wholesale Clearance UK. And what it told us is that Nikon is one of the most sold as well as bought brands on eBay, because if you sell something, someone has to buy it.
That's right, yeah. So in the electronics section, the biggest brand in terms of turnover is Apple, unsurprisingly, followed by Samsung, and then actually Nikon and Huawei.
There's no Canon or Sony to be seen.
No. And then you can see from the little graphic that that was created by this website that, for example, Land Rover products bought and sold a lot on eBay. In terms of the luxury fashion department, Omega and Rolex. I would not buy a Rolex from eBay.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Like, I don't want to spend whatever money it costs, you know, the Monopoly money on eBay. I guess I would rather go to
a Rolex
person store. I know, exactly.
That's right.
You know, not on the corner on the street, but actual who has a shop.
That's right. And the most interesting one of all to me is that in the toys department, Lego has a £54 million turnover in the space of a year.
So. You know what you should do, Becky? You should buy those sets right now.
Yeah.
Leave them in the attic for 10 years and then sell them for quadruple the cost.
It's a shame that doesn't work with cameras. Not digital cameras, anyway.
Well, you can find a brand new FM3, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be all right.
Absolutely.
You'd be doing all right for yourself.
But it's interesting because obviously by Nikon being the most sold and bought photographic brand on eBay, it just shows the strength of the brand. And
it does.
While the internet tells us that Nikon is a tiny indie company, actually in real world, the photographers who buy the equipment and sell the equipment on eBay, they use Nikon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Here you go.
Now for some software updates for you. So Nikon have updated their software compatibility chart with macOS Ventura.
So if you have this operating system and you're using Nikon software, do definitely check it out. And now we are going to talk about Nikon financials.
We're going to talk. Sounds ominous.
Hopefully not so much, not to bore you. But the good news is that in the last quarter, we've seen a significant increase in revenue and operating profit year on year.
Hurrah. I get immediately tired when we start talking about it. It's like an instant reaction.
The good news, Nikon isn't dead.
No, I got that.
So they sell some cameras, apparently. So what they say that Nikon Corporation reported a net profit of 20.6 billion yen for the third quarter, so which ended on December 31st, 2022, compared with a year ago profit of 12.6 billion for the third quarter revenue. So it's rose almost 26% year over year, and the total is 167.7 billion yen. So 26% increase of revenue.
I understood that bit.
That's pretty good.
It's great.
Especially in recession.
It's impressive, I would say. Impressive performance. So well done, Nikon, for that.
Good. Moving on. Third-party news.
I was going to say, what about the rest of it?
All right. Well, let's go into the details a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Not to bore you to death. But we're going to look into the imaging products business. So the imaging business that makes cameras and lenses for you. So overall revenue was 184.4 billion. On their operating profit is 41.2 billion, which is 22.4% of the overall profit, which is nice.
Great.
Revenues and operating profit up on weaker yen and higher ASP driven by shift to mid-high-end models for pro hobbyists.
Sorry, what does ASP mean? Oh, okay. So a higher average selling price.
What that means is low volume but higher margin.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? We've been talking it for years.
Yeah, it's the same thing every financial report, basically.
So again, mid to high-end models for pro and hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking effectively Z6, Z7 Mark II cameras as well as Z9s.
Nice.
Now, it's an interesting thing about not announcing that date. A lot of people think that they won't announce it before the end of financial year, which ends on 31st of March. This year.
Why would that be logical?
Because they think that it will stop sales of the other cameras. Now, in my opinion, if you release something like Z6 Mark III, it won't stop the sales of Z9. Now, Z8 may be a little bit different. It will depend how much they will differentiate from each other.
Yes.
So let's say if it's a mini Z9, then I can see that Z9 sales will slow down. But if it's more of a higher resolution studio camera with a low frame rate, then you have clear differentiation between different cameras. So one is designed for sports and wildlife photographers, another one for, let's say, portrait wedding photographers and studio photographers.
Yes.
So, but I personally don't think this is the case.
Right.
You can also announce the camera now and start the sales after the end of financial year, which shouldn't affect your figures that much.
Right. I understand the logic behind that. I will say, I don't think that at this point, people who were going to buy a Z6 II are on the fence about it, will now wait until something else comes out. So I don't think it's actually going to affect the sales that
what
much.
What I think is happening as well, that people are not buying Z6 and Z7 Mark IIs
as much
because they hope that the refresh is overdue.
Yeah.
So they think that we will see a release sometime this year. And when you have to think this way, then you will think twice before spending your hard-earned cash on a product that may become superseded very quickly.
Yeah, and it's always the way. You'll have one or two people who will buy the product before it gets discontinued or before it sort of sings its swan song. But for the most part, those who really wanted the camera will have bought it already. And the only other people that might take it up will be spurred on by any kind of promotions. Promotional activity is always a good way to shift units, as they say. But I wouldn't, if I were advising Nikon, I wouldn't say hold on any longer, because as we said earlier on a slightly different topic, the world is watching and waiting to see what Nikon come up with next. It's very palpable in the photographic community, you know? So although I understand the logic behind it, I wouldn't actually say that it's a smart move at this point.
I agree with you. Back to sales, they say that although the total number of interchangeable lenses decreased, so they sold them less, the high price range of full frame lenses was strong. High margin, low sales. That was contributing to increased revenue and operating profit. And it beat the plan substantially due to deferral of expenses such as research and development, etc., etc. So let's have a look at the sales. So in this quarter, they sold digital camera interchangeable lens types, so effectively mirrorless cameras, including DSLRs, 210,000. That was 50,000 more compared to the same quarter of previous year.
Right.
Then they sold 320,000 interchangeable lenses. Now this is down, as they mentioned, from 360,000. And then apparently they still sell compact cameras like Coolpix. While that market is shrinking, they sold 30,000 of those. It's 10,000 less than for the same period of the previous year.
So they did say during the 9 months that ended on December the 31st, 2022, so from April 1st to December 31st, 2022, in the imaging products business, shipped quantities of products showed a recovery trend as the digital camera market saw an improvement in problems with procurement of components due in part to the shortage of semiconductors. So shipped quantities of products showed a recovery trend. So what they're saying is that there was a recovery trend as the improvement with those problems of getting parts of semiconductors and stuff improved. It improved. Fantastic.
Yay.
Next up, they said in the imaging products business, the group focused on group with a capital G for some reason, but okay.
I guess the group, like Nikon as a Nikon group. Yeah. Yeah, as an entity, as a company. As an entity.
It makes me think something out of a sci-fi. Anyway, in the imaging product, they went on to say, in the imaging product business, the group focused on expanding sales of mid to high-end products and interchangeable lenses to pros and hobbyists. Sales of the flagship model Z9 remained strong, and as a result, the business segment recorded year-on-year increases in both revenue and profit, partly because of a higher average unit selling price and the positive effects of yen depreciation. So they're like, yay, the yen is weaker.
The yen is weaker.
Which means that they are they're selling more stuff in it.
In it. So I just need to cut all this into something a bit faster, but it's usable. But think about it this way. Last year was all about the exotics. So high price, low volume. But we've seen so many of them released.
Yeah.
So imagine that those five people ordered all five of those lenses.
Yeah.
And here we have the profit.
Exactly.
All right. So let's have a look at the forecast for the next quarter, Becky.
Oh, joy. So apparently the forecast is unchanged from the previous forecast.
Well, that's good news. So they're still expecting a revenue up to 51.8 billion yen year on year, which is nice.
Yeah, apparently they expect the market size to grow as parts procurement constraints ease. So basically they'll be able to get access to parts more and there will be less of a kind of shortage of those. They also said continue to focus on profitability and the mid-high-end cameras targeting pro hobbyists, which does give us hope for Z8/Z63/Z73.
Someone will always say, what about Z5 Mark II? Yes, maybe Z5 Mark II as well.
That too. Increasing revenue mainly for mirrorless cameras, makes sense. Interchangeable lenses, although sales of low-priced single focal length lenses are decreasing, sales of what would that be, like 50 mil, 35, 85? Yeah, now, they also said increasing revenue mainly for mirrorless cameras, which we expected, and in interchangeable lenses, although sales of low-priced single focal length lenses are decreasing. So we're talking, you know, the smaller muffin lenses, we're talking the 35, 50, 85, 1.8, 20, 28, 24, etc. So although those sales are decreasing, sales of high price lenses are increasing, as you said, with the exotics and the long telephotos. As a result, revenues expected to increase year on year.
I thought you can just say, let's just release expensive stuff and
basically
sell that.
We're paraphrasing, but that's essentially what they're saying. Now, they're also expecting operating profit to grow year on year on increased sales of these mid to high-end cameras, and they are raising a full-year forecast of 9 billion yen.
Yeah, so they're still expecting to sell 700,000 of interchangeable lens cameras, so mirrorless including DSLRs, which is about the same as they did in previous years, so they want to stay on the same market. And say they're actually expecting the market slightly to grow, which is nice because it was shrinking before. So that's some good news. So if they stay on the same level, we will see profits effectively, which is nice because they are now increasing the margins. So suddenly they say, okay, if you sell less, however, if the margins are high, then it's fine.
Exactly.
Now,
huzzah.
Nikon is not dead. That's the conclusion. But let's have a look at their key items in their lineup. So if you look at the imaging business, they list a Z9 is their main product. Right next to it, there's a Z30.
So it's like those two completely different cameras, yeah, juxtaposed one against the other.
I wonder if it's a Z9, Z30 and everything in between, or is their 30 so popular we just don't know about that?
Yes, because we're not influencers, so we don't
But
know.
I am puzzled by this, and ideally I would like to see the sales figures. But it's interesting that obviously their Nikon lenses are in the big line now, but they also list exotic lenses like 400 and 4.5 as a main seller. And again, that coming back to saying actually they sold less lenses, but at a higher price. Let's go to the sales by region. They've sold 27% of all equipment, including other branches like medical and health. So they sold most of their equipment in the United States, which is 27%. The second one is China at 20%. Then we have Japan at 18, combined others at 19, and Europe, including UK, is 15%. Now, imaging product sales from all the business segments, imaging products sell 40%.
Okay.
So it's a big chunk of their business.
It is. I'm sure that's increased, though, hasn't it?
It did. It definitely did, from 33%. So, and then obviously the other businesses include healthcare, precision equipment companies, and industrial metrology as well.
Nice.
In terms of research and development, they're forecasting of spending 27% on research for the following year. That's increased from 25%. And in terms of their cash flow and assets, it's pretty good.
Excellent.
All right, that wraps up our financial coverage of a Nikon Q3 financial report. If you want to go into detail and read all the 40 pages of it, we've given you links in the description below.
We have, but you don't need to because we've told you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
And if you're still with us, now for some third-party news. So the Godox X-Pro2 2023 radio controller for Nikon cameras has been officially announced.
I am surprised how many Godox users we have. So because when we talked about flashes, Godox was the number one recommendation.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a good brand in terms of quality and affordability.
Yeah, it's that sweet spot, isn't it? Because it's not so expensive that a keen amateur can't stretch to it, but at the same time, it's still excellent quality, so professionals are very happy to use it without breaking the bank. So what this new unit gives us over the first version is improved compatibility for mirrorless cameras, a new flip lock mounting mechanism. You can save 5 different user settings for later memory recall. You've got new individual modeling lamp control. You can update the firmware via a USB-C port, which is handy. And there is also channel scan function, new Siconic L858 integration. Mm-hmm. So you can fire your lights from a Siconic L858 meter.
So the Siconic L858 meter is the most advanced photographic light meter from Siconic. The problem was it was out of stock for about a year in all places in the world,
right,
including places like, I don't remind, B&H. And it's interesting to see that integration. So hopefully that will help to sync things wirelessly. But if anyone knows where to get this L858 light meter, do let us know in the comments below.
It's also got improved TCM function and new menu interface.
Fancy.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great. So we're glad that's been officially announced.
I mean, the good news is they're not very expensive. They're like the previous version retails on Amazon for about like £60.
Yeah.
And you can buy it for either Nikon or other brands as well. They have dedicated versions. But if you start to look at something like Profoto, they are a lot more expensive.
For sure.
But as we said, professionals will swear by professional brands and will pay premium for the consistency. For everyone else, when we need to think about, let's say, our spending, Godox is a very viable choice.
Indeed. Now moving on to our review section, we have a review by yours truly. It is a comparison between the Nikon F-mount AFP 70-300 versus the new Tamron 70-3 Z-mount, because a lot of you asked for us to compare the Nikon native lens, which is an F-mount lens and needs an FTZ adapter, versus the new Tamron Z-mount lens. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh boy, we've delivered.
We have. So do go check that out on our YouTube channel. We've also got the Z9 versus the Sony A1, a wildlife shootout by Steve Perry. Always love Steve's reviews.
Exactly.
He's a great photographer. He's a very, very knowledgeable instructor as well. So worth a watch on that one.
It's interesting because he basically, when at the end he says, which camera would I choose? He chooses Z9. Mm. But one of his reasons is being the variety of lenses that Nikon make for wildlife photography. And normally when we talk about lens lineup, Sony always wins because they've been in the game for so long. Mm. So it was a very interesting choice for me to say, well, actually, if you're in a wildlife game, then Nikon has better options for you. But I guess it's to do with the build quality as well.
Right.
It's a nice and chunky camera as well. Moving on, we've got Cap Cameras in Japan published a first hands-on review of 65mm Voigtlander lens, the one we reviewed recently as well.
Ah.
So if you haven't seen some sample pictures, do definitely check it out. It's a Japanese translated, but if you can pass through that, it's fine.
Exactly. Google translates, your friend. Now moving on to our weekend read and watch section, we have Why I Have Shot Nikon for Over 20 Years by Nigel Danson. Nigel is someone that gets often recommended to us by our YouTube viewers, and we do watch his video. So we're very glad that he has done this video to explain why he has stuck with Nikon for so long.
Absolutely. And a part of his cover for this video, I have nothing to complain about.
Because he said, will I switch?
Yes.
Yeah, but you need that.
Yes. Unfortunately, not many people understand that you have to be in the YouTube game. You have to trick the algorithm and you have to provoke and click and bait and switch. So you need to do that. Unfortunately, it's just part of life.
It is a bit unfortunate, but anyway. Part of the fun.
Check out our review of Sony A1, where we throw it in a bin in the first 5 seconds.
And then we talk about the Z9. No, exactly. We don't do that because we just don't.
Because we've got standards.
Do we though?
We just haven't seen the numbers. Once we see the numbers, all the standards go out of the way.
Something like that. Anyway, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, and that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. I know some of you only listen on a podcast platform. If you've been watching on YouTube, we hope you've liked it enough to give us a like and a subscribe. If you are listening on a podcast platform, give us a follow, a rating, a review. It all helps tremendously.
If you want to find us on places like Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify, we are there. You just have to search.
That's right. And if you'd like to find us on the internet, we occasionally post on that platform that not many people use anymore called Instagram.
Yeah, I heard it's older than Flickr.
I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon@Grays.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin.
There you go.
We will see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.